Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Moles. Oh! An impossible catch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner for a must-be a Tuesday, baby. But it's always a Tuesday around here. Patrick Harris with you. Joe Fisher to my left.
Let's go.
I had to restart the old computer.
You shouldn't be too upset because that's a damn good-looking sandwich you got over there. That's a sylph, if I've ever seen one.
What?
A sylph.
I would like to, boom!
To feast! To bam! It's a sandwich I'd like to feast on.
There you go, to feast.
Was that some stone ground in there?
Stone ground in there, some horseradish crema.
Well, you lost me there.
I love horseradish.
Horseradish is awesome.
No, it's not. It's 2024. We don't have to eat it anymore. All right. There's better sauces. There's better condiments. Horseradish is not good.
Funny story.
No, I'm not moving past this. No. What's your story? Sorry.
I do a lot of whitewater rafting, and I'm out in the middle of nowhere, Idaho, doing the shebang. And
is
I'm there with one of my oldest friends, one of my best friends in the world. Shout out to Hib if you're listening.
Is he?
And he sometimes he does, actually, yeah.
Okay.
And so I said to him, hey, I'm going to make a sandwich. You hungry? He was like doing a bunch of work around camp. And I was like, hey, you're hungry. You want me to make you a sandwich? And he goes, yeah. And I go, all right, well, it's this meat, this cheese, and some other stuff. What kind of, you know, you want mustard, mayonnaise? Like, what do you want on the sandwich? He goes, just make it like you make yours.
Oh, boy.
And so I said, are you sure? And he said, yes, just make it like you make yours. And so I made it like I make mine. And he took a bite and threw up in the bushes.
Because you put god-awful horseradish on it?
Because I put a bunch of horseradish.
Like, too much?
He just goes, Jesus, man, like, horseradish. And I was like, dude, I asked you.
Horseradish is one of those things where if you put it in any food and I eat it, and it's like, there's automatically, I'm like, you put horseradish in this, didn't you? Like, I remember one time someone made mashed potatoes and they put a little bit of horseradish in there. And I was just like, what is wrong? What is up with these mashed potatoes? And they're like, oh, it's my recipe. I put blah, 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 some horseradish. I'm like, you can have the rest of this. This is not good.
You know, when you,
it's too pungent. It's got too much bite. It's too spicy. It's not necessary. Like, what is it? Is it prime rib?
Prime rib is fantastic with horseradish.
Prime rib is just fantastic, period.
Well,
you don't need to say the with horseradish.
You got to add like a little bit of butter to the horseradish. See, there you can make a nice little like horseradish aioli. It doesn't have to have like the full stang of horseradish on your tongue.
But
right?
I want the full stank.
I don't
of
want
horseradish.
I don't want okay. that stank.
Well, I love sushi, and so wasabi is my jam.
Yeah. See, in the
I
last
love wasabi.
The last time I got sushi, I even tried to do the little soy sauce wasabi mixture.
Oh,
do
it's
a
so
little,
amazing.
Do a little
it's the only
know?
Way to do it.
And then I took it, and that again, that stank on the wasabi. I was just like, no.
Do you go spicy mayo then?
Dude, yeah, spicy mayo. I will F up some spicy mayo.
Well, good luck with your spicy mayo, because it sounds like our future, cabinet member, head of the FDA, wants to ban mayonnaise.
Spicy mayo? Oh.
He wants to ban mayonnaise.
I was going to say spicy mayo specifically.
The old, I never thought that
the one who was eating McDonald's the other day.
I never thought that I'd have a Kennedy in my life telling me that mayonnaise and Gatorade should be banned.
Listen, they put mayonnaise in the vaccines. I don't know if you knew that.
He did eat McDonald's. It was really funny that he was like,
his face in that picture looked like someone had a sniper to his head.
Like, look, dude.
Eat that fucking McDonald's.
Let's have a conversation about fast food real quick, okay? Look.
I'm down.
I don't eat a ton of fast food, okay?
I eat more than I should.
And that's fine. And that's fine. I'm not here to judge you. That's not what it's about. I don't eat a ton of fast food. Joe, you commute from Newburgh to Portland every day.
Yep. I mean, so, a Crunchwrap slips in there.
Without a doubt. Of course it does.
A McDub,
If I were you, I would be in the same boat.
Sometimes, it has to happen.
It's got to happen. I'm starving. I'm a 45-minute drive to home.
Got to get a biggie bag, something.
I completely get it. It's okay to have fast food.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you have it every day, that's a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's okay to have fast food. I've never seen anyone in my entire life look at a camera the way that guy did because he had to eat fast food. Is it because the McDonald's was cold at the time? There's no way that McDonald's was
that
warm.
That was my thought, too.
There's no way.
That even was, if it's like the president's, though, or the future
president's? It's like when Papa T had, like, UConn or whatever it was, like, whatever sports team he had, and it was a McDonald's, like, buffet. That food's not warm.
I'd like a Filet-O-Fish, please.
And I'll tell you what. Fast food is wonderful. If it's hot.
Yeah, if it's fresh.
Yeah.
If it's cold,
yeah.
They tell you, do not reheat Taco Bell.
What is
Taco Bell tells sauce? You that. Don't reheat Taco
I've
Bell.
I've literally used my air fryer to do that several times.
Now, an air fryer might be different, but I think they're thinking like old school microwave.
Well, that's disgusting.
And then like, had to replace the septic tank a day later.
Don't reheat this because you're going to be in a bad spot.
Yeah. They're like, listen, we don't even suggest you eat this normally. Okay? For the love of God, don't reheat this. Yeah,
I think there's a time and place for fast food. I'm not going to sit here and bash fast food. I'm just not going to.
Do you think they just pulled up with the PJ right into the parking lot with that? Just
the PJ through the drive-thru?
just taking people's cars out.
Just like the left wing is completely gone because it didn't fit into the area.
I don't know.
Do you think they took the left order or the right order? You know how now all fast food or like McDonald's at least
they have the two drive.
They got the two drive throughs.
Delicate dance you got
to
play.
And you're like,
that.
Wow, the left wing took a bad beating yesterday, so let's go to the right side.
I've been skipped. No, like I've gone through like one specific side at my local one in Wilsonville, and they'll skip me. And they heard me grumbling about it one time, so I got two extra double cheeseburgers.
Oh,
I appreciate that.
It's a real thing. When you roll
Wait,
up,
you complained.
And you see,
I didn't complain. They heard me literally going, "What the F? Do
Damn
I not
it.
Effing exist?" And I think I did it audibly enough to where they're like, "Oh, S." So they were like,
"The microphone's on."
Yeah, it's always on, I guess. So they heard me and they said,
"Say
hey,
that again,
it's all
sir?
Good."
What was that?
They gave me extra food as a sorry.
I will have to say though, looking at this picture again, I think Trump is a Filet-O-Fish guy.
He is.
I think that is a Filet-O-Fish box.
Those are not nuggies. That is a Big Mac and a Filet-O-Fish.
Wow.
See, that's so weird. And I'm not going to trash McDonald's. I'm not going to. Time and place. Like I said, if I haven't been to McDonald's in a long time, I'm a chicken nugget guy. And if I don't get chicken nuggets, then I'm probably a Big Mac.
Big Mac is, I think, goated top three fast food item of all time.
I just think the filet of fish is probably just down my line.
My girlfriend.
I'm sure it's good, but it's down my line.
My girlfriend, a staunch Filet-O-Fish supporter. Really? I almost want to ruin Asian. Her day. Yeah, she's Asian. She's from Hawaii. And I think that was something that, like,
that fresh caught? Can you tell me where this fish grew up? Did it grow up on a farm in Central Oregon?
They probably had good Filet-O-Fishes over there on Kauai.
I'm pretty sure they don't.
At the McDonald's in Hawaii, you can get like spam breakfast sandwiches. Spam's so great. No, and it's I love it. Like local fare is always available at McDonald's.
I had a masubi today. Made masubi over there on...
should have brought some in.
On 22nd and Burnside. There's a great little spot over there that makes masubis, and I love it.
Son of a bitch.
I need to point out the most egregious offense, though, in that picture of all those yahoos sitting up there in that private jet eating some McDonald's. Elon Musk, he peeled off the top of, like, the sauce wrapper, you know? He stuck it right on, not the plate, but the tray that everything came on.
He's an animal.
I'm just like,
dip it in that?
No. I mean, like, he stuck the wrapper, not, like, didn't put it back in the bag, didn't put it in the box that the burger came in or the fries or nuggies came in. He put it, stuck it, like, to the table like, the tray.
I'm going
Zapruder. Somebody has to clean that up.
I'm going Zapruder film here. I think those are ketchup packets.
You're a jerk. No, I don't think they are. I think they're literally
deep diving in. I am zooming in.
Of a wrapper.
I think those, well, what also kills me is Trump's got, like, little ketchup bottles. Little ketchup and tartar sauce.
Oh, that's,
and
mayo. That's just on Air Force One.
No, those are little mayo bottles.
That's just standard on Air Force One.
I think that I need to tell my girlfriend, I'm like, you know who's a big Filet-O-Fish fan? She'll be like, who? Because she'll be so excited. There aren't a lot of Filet-O-Fish people out there. And then I'm going to hit her with, like, your future president.
She might
sour on Filet-O-Fish at that point.
Let's do this real quick, and then we'll get into some actual real baseball stuff. You are now the president of the most powerful country in the nation. You have to have one fast food go-to. One place.
One place.
Now, you can order different things.
But
it's one place.
Well, with RFK, there might be only one choice from here on out.
What is this, Demolition Man? Taco Bell won the fast food wars?
Only Chipotle, nothing else.
What are you choosing?
I am going to, you know, I think I might, my first instinct was to go Golden Arches. Because if I'm trying to win over Americans, it's like, let's just go with the staple.
Sure.
But for my personal taste and preference, I got to go with the Redhead. I got to go with Wendy's. I think Wendy's is my number one favorite fast food restaurant.
I think Wendy's is a fantastic choice.
Solid bacon.
I'm seriously considering Taco Bell, but I feel like my reputation on primetime as a McDonald's lover precedes me, so I'm just going to stick with the Arches.
That's fine. I will pick up the slack that you are laying down, Schultzy. I'll go Taco Bell.
Yes.
I'll go Taco Bell. Fire sauce. That's it. That's the fire sauce and Baja Blast. That's the deal breaker. If I'm the president and they're like, yo, we just left this super awful, terrible fight that he showed up to, like, be cool about, and he's got to go home. What are you eating? And it's like, dude's got a Crunchwrap Supreme and a Double Decker and some fire sauce and a Baja Blast. I mean, hey, I'd vote for that guy.
Yeah, nobody can disagree with that.
I will say, full disclosure, I did have a gordita the other day.
Hell yeah.
And it was...
It's phenomenal.
Dot, dot, dot.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
They're doing that whole throwback menu thing.
Oh, to the 90s or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And so they had the gordita. And
that
I was
$7
like,
box looks amazing. I'm going to Taco Bell after this.
Well, $7 boxes are always great.
Well, Patrick, get it on the app because they have special boxes. Cheaper boxes on the app. So that's how you save a little
money. Well, now I'm hungry. Get that sandwich out of my face. I want you to eat it. And I know that there's horseradish on it, but I'm just going to act like it's not on there. And now a Taco Bell commercial shows up on the TV.
Phones are listening.
For the love of God.
Oakley Dougley. Well, we do have a baseball show for y'all today. And we will get into that. You know, people always ask me, baseball season's over. What the hell are you going to talk about? Well, we got something for you.
I had multiple people today. They're like, oh, you have a show tonight. I'm like, hey, don't do that. Okay.
Our podcast.
Baseball never sleeps.
Our podcast. Okay. Yeah, it's our podcast.
There you go.
Baseball is 24/7 NFL ain't got nothing on this. Baseball's 24/7. We got a lot to get to today. Can you imagine that there's a tiny team that actually really sucks that is all of a sudden making a ton of moves? We'll get to that as well. We'll have Fair or Foul at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour, as we always do. We're going to have to check in on Juan Soto and what the hell's going on with that. Plus, if he does, in fact, sign for a team that's not his current team, what does that look like for them? But when we come back, let's dive in. Awards are coming out. There's a couple of them that I find are very interesting. The Rookie of the Year, Managers of the Year. I think a lot of that is really fascinating. We'll do that next. This is the Hot Corner Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
717 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Pissing Rain Fremont Bridge.
Well, it's the cyclone bomb combined with the atmospheric river. That's what's going on right now.
The Vancouver 4 text line, 503-864-6326. Shout out from our homeboy RJ, who is out on the coast, where, quote, the bomb cyclone has yet to arrive, but the beer is good and the fire is warm.
An explosion of rain.
I know. I feel like it should have been something awesome, but I don't have it. All I got for you, RJ, is this.
Down goes Anderson!
Well, I'm pissed. I was trying to find the other day the drops that we had for Snowmageddon 2019.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where it had like the lady screaming in the background.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Snowmageddon 2019. Ah!
And then it also snowed really bad during COVID. So like all the businesses didn't have indoor seating. So if you wanted to eat or drink, you had to be out.
Freeze your ass off.
Absurd.
Your dollar goes further with Vancouver Ford text line. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Also, check us out on YouTube right now. YouTube.com/1080.
Nice.
Ooh, sorry. That was my Isaac Rop impression.
That was guttural.
At 10,
did you just throw up on the mic a little bit?
At 1080 AM, The Fan. So check us out over there. Horseradish, the only white sauce worse than ranch.
I mean, hey, if it's worse than ranch, I'll accept that. But ranch is a top tier sauce.
Yeah, ranch is amazing. Although it depends on what kind, because there is really bad ranch.
Ken's.
Our next text is horseradish with corned beef. Love horseradish.
Yummy.
And trash it on McDonald's. They microwave every order. So that means you know you can microwave it when you get home.
What?
They just make the burger and then toss it in the micro just to give that extra warmth.
It's a warmer. I don't think it's a microwave, but all right.
But there's a lot to get to when it comes to baseball at the end of the season. Okay, we start talking about player movement. There's managers being fired. There's reorganization. There's whatever the hell's going on in Tampa right now. There's so much stuff to get into, and we will spread that throughout the next few months, and we'll probably also get into maybe a little NFL or college basketball or
as we do
something like that, as someone we like was, to do in the offseason.
Someone was giving me hell last year because I was talking about the Cowboys one show when you were out, and they're like, isn't this a baseball show?
Okay.
And I'm like, have you not listened before this year?
For the last 10 years.
Because we start to go into other stuff a little bit. So.
Anything new that shows up in baseball, we will always bring it to you. But for the first few weeks, we got about a little, you know, we're still in baseball. And I'd like to start here with the Rookie of the Year awards. You know, now awards are not always the craziest thing. You know, we'll probably talk Hall of Fame next week as the ballot just came out. But this is more pertinent, more, you know, inclusive of what we just went through. And I'd like to start in the National League as Paul Skenes, Paul Dunn, if we want to call him that.
Oh, my God.
Takes her last name.
Wins the National League Rookie of the Year. And that, what I will say real quick is I don't have any issue with really any of these awards. Maybe the American League Rookie of the Year.
I was going to say, I might.
But what I think is interesting about this National League Rookie of the Year award, look, Paul Skenes, look, dude, you are one of the faces. We want you to be amazing as baseball fans. Anytime there is a player that gets eyeballs who aren't a fan of that team, I'm pro you. Shohei, Paul Skenes, whatever it is. I am surprised that Paul Skenes dominated this award as much as he did. I thought Jackson Merrill had a pretty damn good year.
He was very good for the Padres, but I feel like just the, I mean, Skenes had a 1.96 ERA.
Started the All-Star game.
That is the lowest of any rookie pitcher who made at least 20 starts in the live ball era since 1920. Sounds pretty Rookie of the Year-esque to me. Jackson Merrill was one of the most clutch players this year.
He was fantastic for the Padres. But, and had they not had to play the Dodgers as early as they did, could have probably gone further in the playoffs.
And listen, if he got the nod because he's got a super hot girlfriend, then that's okay. What's Jackson Merrill working with now? I gotta ask that.
You know what? You can ask that.
Probably still young, I got a good
feeling it ain't Livy Dunn.
No, that's a lot of those guys aren't working with Livy Dunn. Like, they're working with pieces, but not necessarily Livy Dunn.
2 days ago was the 8-year anniversary of the greatest tweet ever made by a spouse of a Major League Baseball player. And she said, and I quote, "Hey, at Major League Baseball, I thought I was the only person that was able to bleep Justin Verlander.
I know what you're talking about.
Find me the two people that left him off the ballot. Kate Upton. Kate Uptop.
Yep. Cat Daddy herself.
Livy Dunn or Kate Upton? Real quick. Livy Dunn or Kate Upton?
That's a because,
you know,
God.
Kate Upton's stacked.
Yeah, that's one of the hardest.
But she's older.
You got to think of the gymnast aspect of Livy Dunn, if you know what I mean. You know,
I'm gonna take the Uptop.
I'm taking Livy Dunn.
You know, the Uptops have made a great comeback with Sydney Sweeney and that ring chick that was
Sydney
at
Thomas.
The ring chick out on the Netflix.
Another Sydney. Yeah, she is just, oh my God.
Bring back the Uptops. So,
smoke and, show.
Yeah, Kate.
Hashtag make Uptops great again.
Yeah, still doing research on Jackson Mills.
On Livy Dunn.
Here.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
I bet she doesn't have one.
I think I was just surprised, and I think what's interesting. I'm surprised, and let me share this with you. What I was surprised is because of what it translates to the American League, which we'll get to in a second. I was really surprised because I thought it would be closer. I'm not shocked that Skenes won. I'm more just a little surprised that it was 23 first place votes. Jackson Merrill 7, and then the reverse for second place votes. I was a little more surprised by that because I was curious, can Jackson Merrill down the stretch being clutch on a team going to the playoffs? I was curious if this award would get a little more MVP-ish than just what your stats say. And this stayed with what your stats say.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, like how valuable were...
Because as a rookie, you're not expected to win the World Series.
How valuable was your performance to your team? And I get that, but I feel like, in a sense, Rookie of the Year, it's almost an exception of that. Like, and they have two separate awards, you know, MVP
totally.
Versus Cy Young, so... You know,
Ichiro is the last one I can remember that won rookie and MVP.
So what rookie, but... You know, rest in peace, Fernando Valenzuela. was a rookie of the year and Cy Young winner himself. Yeah, I think that's Skeens to me. I mean, again, Jackson Merrill was great, but he had an unprecedented rookie year.
And that's what shifts me to the American League.
Oh, God.
Well, quickly, too, just let me point out that Paul Skeens was like a top draft pick. Jackson Merrill went near the end of a first round. I just don't think those guys...
still a top draft pick.
No, but totally, but looking at...
You know Tom Brady was in the sixth round?
Giovanni Carmazzi got drafted ahead of him. No, my point is, though...
Did you know Tony Romo wasn't drafted?
You're usually only hearing about maybe the top 10 or 20 draft picks out of a year.
Especially in baseball, yeah.
And with Paul Skeens, I think... I mean, I'm not even joking here. I think the Livy Dunn factor actually does help him, and we saw the national media, as soon as he made his first start, basically coming out throwing flames, and Jackson Merrill did the same thing at the plate, but just didn't get as much coverage because A, Merrill played a full season, and B, Skeens came in the middle of a season too. So it was like the perfect timing, you know, dead sports time in the summer when Paul Skeens appeared, and all that extra national love, I think, helped propel him to it, as well as his hot female.
And I think we get really excited about top draft picks. Yep. Strasburg, Harper, Griffey. You know, there's the, and then we talk about the Dustin Ackleys of the world, the number twos that completely fall on their face and aren't great. Like, I think you got a great point there, Schultzy, that like, we do want, we do it in the NFL, we do it in the NBA, like Anthony Bennett, like we'll always know Anthony Bennett. Okay, but Kyrie went number one, and you're like, oh, okay, I'm cool with that. And so, you know, you look at NFL players, it's like, I think Caleb's getting a lot more dragged through the mud in the NFL this year because he went one. If he went two, and Daniels went one, and Daniels is still doing what he's doing and being amazing, but Caleb's two, they'll be like, well, it's okay, that's why he wasn't number one. He's still got to move, he's still got to progress, blah, blah, blah. But because he went one, we got to trash him. So I hear you on that. And I think that's what's so fun about this National League Rookie of the Year race when you compare it to the American League race, because I feel like the voters had different standards for the American League as they did the National League. And that's what I want to get to next. We're here. It's award shows. Plus, we'll have some other, we'll get on Soto Watch and all that stuff. There's a lot to get to today, and we'll do the American League Rookie of the Year next, but first, there's Schultzy with sports. Coming up in the second hour, we'll dive into the Manager of the Year, which I think has got a lot of really fascinating layers to that as well, and guilty as charged. Maybe I don't really agree.
Oh.
With some of those choices that were made.
Oh.
Especially as we're talking about the Rookie of the Year, the discrepancy in votes, I've got some issues with that. So with that in the 8 o'clock hour, plus why is this crappy team trying to make a ton of moves? Plus fair or foul. So the 8 o'clock hour is loaded. In 15 minutes, we'll get into a little Soto update for y'all. But I want to stick right here as the Rookie of the Year voting. Now, the fact, Joe, I will say this real quick. The fact that we are, and this might be my own personal bias as I do kind of direct the ship, but I love that we are starting this show with a bunch of talk about rookies.
The future of the game, Patrick.
Because what do we always talk about? We've been talking about for the last, even when you were on the ones and twos, before Schultzy was with us and Voldemort was in here, we have been saying for like the last 3-4 years, the future is really bright in baseball. There are a lot of really great players coming down the pipeline. Minus the Kyle Lewis's of the world, all these rookies are becoming big-time players. Corbin Carroll, Adley Rutschman, guys like that are becoming real bona fide superstars.
Well, and it's funny, you know, just to make a comparison to another league, is that like the NBA is struggling with who's next. I mean, they're still hanging on to the legacy of like LeBron and Steph and Durant, where they're like, we need to make stars out of these younger guys, whereas MLB is kind of just like, we got them. We're good.
And I would even argue in the NBA, it's like, yeah, there's Giannis, but it's like, well, Milwaukee's kind of a disaster right now. Joel Embiid, well,
he doesn't want to play.
Kind of a disaster. Where's Paul George? Where's Kawhi Leonard? Nobody knows. You know, it's like they've got a problem with guys that just want to play in baseball. And I think that's one thing that's great about baseball. Like, everybody wants to, you know, bitch and complain about too many games. Oh, it's so season's so long. Yeah, these guys play baseball. They play baseball every day, and they have for their entire life. So of course they're going to keep at it. And that's, and then I'll use that segment and we'll translate into the American League, which I found fascinating about this Rookie of the Year vote. Luis Gil for the Yankees, starting pitcher, wins it. He has 15 first place votes. He beats Colton Cowser from the Orioles, who has 13 first place votes. He garnered an extra second place vote, two extra third place votes. Mason Miller got a first place vote for the A's, which I'm okay with.
Yeah. Duh.
Kate Smith from the Guardians got a first place vote. That's probably a local Cleveland guy.
Those two bastards stole that award from Colton Cowser is what they did.
But Kate Smith had a really great season for Cleveland as a relief pitcher. But what I think is fascinating, and I will share this with the two of you. I thought Luis Gil had a great season. I thought Colton Cowser had a great season. Those are the two guys. Austin Wells should not be on this list in any way, shape, or form, in my opinion.
Well,
I like him. I think he's going to be a great future catcher for the Yankees. Should not be on this list. But let me bring this into you. As we talked about in the National League, right? When we're comparing Jackson Merrill and Paul Skeens, it's about numbers, correct? It's not about how you perform down the stretch. Were you important for your team? No, we kind of decided that this is a numbers game. And I don't like to bring this up a ton on this show, but let me tell you about my fantasy league. Luis Gil was dropped and picked up by over six teams. When Colton Cowser got picked up, he was never dropped.
Now, fantasy-wise,
understood, pitcher versus batter.
Yeah, and it's just like,
but Luis Gil did this. He did the up and down, and Cowser was good all year.
And he was amazing out in the field as well. I hear you. The inconsistency, that's what kind of gets me, is that, like, Luis Gil came out of the start just guns a blazing. Like, what was he, 8-0 to start the year?
I mean, he was fantastic.
I don't know if it was 8-1 or 9-1 or 9-0. I forget, but yeah, he was on fire to start the year, and then he fell off. And so this almost reminds me of in a reverse and a different award a few years back when Jake Arrieta won the Cy Young and had just an insane second half
insane
of the year.
Insane stats.
Yeah, but the second half of the year was substantially, well, I shouldn't say substantially better. It was just lights out baseball.
But that's Cy Young.
I get it, but this is where I say is that if you look back on that Jake Arrieta year, is that the first part of that season wasn't that bad. It's just he had a dominant second half where it really helped his overall stats. Luis Gil was pretty bad at points this year. Terrible at
in the
points.
Second half, especially. Yes. Yes. That's why he was dropped and picked up and dropped and in a fantasy league. Now, again, it's different batter to pitcher. But if stats are what matters in these races, because I would argue Jackson Merrill was more valuable than Paul Skeens. I don't even have to argue that. I think we all know that.
Oh, agreed.
But as far as Rookie of the Year, Paul Skeens' numbers look better. So why are we not doing that in the American League? Because he's a Yankee?
Well, maybe because it's, you know, full season sample size versus, you know, Paul Skeens with an amazing half season or three quarter season, what you want to say. You know, that, like, if you were to look at, I guess, like, if you were to break it down into the same sample size of Luis Gil and Paul Skeens, like, you know, if you were to take the, because Paul Skeens, like, how many starts did he have? Like, just over 20?
Mm-hmm.
Luis Gil had what?
23.
Okay.
I got the stats up right now.
So, I don't know, maybe it was just, like, the voters were like, you know, ignore the 5 to 10 games that he was bad, and let's look at the 15 to 20 starts that he was one of the best in the league. That's possibly what they're looking at. It's like, you know, being a pitcher, you're never going to be 100% consistent on top of your game all the time. And it's his rookie year, and he was 15-7 and 3.5 ERA. Like, it was a great year for him. But I'm obviously biased, obviously, with Colton Cowser, but there does have to be something for consistency. And Cowser was able to do it the entire length of the season. And it wasn't just at the dish. It was out in the field as well. He was one of the best fielders for the Orioles this season. So I hear. Again, I'm biased. I will give Luis Gil credit. Him getting rookie of the year, there was definitely part of me where I was like, yeah, he had a fantastic year. You know, props to him. He's very deserving of it. Seeing that he barely beat out Colton Cowser, there was part of me where I'm just like, oh, well, son of a bitch. Now I don't know how to feel about this now.
I've got a bit of a problem with him still qualifying after so many years. Like, Luis Gil literally faced Mariner Kyle Seager, who is long retired by now.
And that's...
You know that Luis Gil is older than Juan Soto?
Yeah, he's like 27, 26.
That is
like
a
that.
Factor, too, is that his whole rookie year, because he sat out last year and then... 22, he didn't reach the qualifying amount of games played or innings.
It's 50 innings pitched, and I think he only pitched like 30 or something like that like two seasons because of injury or however the Yankees were doing things.
Rules is rules, so yeah. I hear what you're saying, but
it makes me even more upset that Colton Cowser didn't win because he had an amazing
legit
season.
Rookie.
And you talk about who's more valuable to their team. I mean, that might be a little bit more of an even slate because, Baltimore really needed that outfield help and New York really needed starting pitching. Like, which one was needed more, I guess, for their
team?
Well,
Baltimore faltered down the stretch and the Yanks got hot.
But not because of Luis Gil.
Exactly. This is what I'm going to tell you. This is Luis Gil's ERA in June. His starts, his games. 182, 204, 203, 277, 315. Pretty great June, huh? This is his September. 324, 318, 314, 327, 350. There's clearly a regression. There's clearly... He did not go sub-2 after the month of June.
Well, and also I think that, as far as looking at, again, a full season versus Skeens giving you... When did Skeens get the call up? Was that like late May?
It's whatever after the deadline to make sure you control them for another three years.
Yeah, I'd have to look and see when that. His MLB debut was on May 11th, whereas Luis Gil, he was pitching the entire season. So there might have been a fatigue factor right there, especially as him coming off of injury, not pitching more than whatever innings in a season, 40. There's probably a fatigue factor that kicked in for him as well.
But I wonder if, and that's kind of what I'm trying to say about the National League Rookie of the Year versus the American League Rookie of the Year. Do you think Luis Gil got more votes because the Yanks were strong at the end and the Orioles kind of faltered?
I hope not because, the Pirates sucked.
But he was that dominant.
I don't know. I hope not. I hope that's not the
case. A-Rod won MVPs in Texas, and they didn't win. They didn't even make the playoffs.
I'm looking at Luis Gil. Four of his last seven starts, he gave up at least three runs, if not four.
How great was he in the postseason?
Not that great.
Exactly.
And it was four of his last seven starts he gave up either... Gave up three or more runs. Two of those were four earned runs. One of those, his last start of the season, he gave up six. He pitched three times in August. He did have no earned in one of those games. I agree with you. I think that just the consistency and how much Cowser was dependent on in the outfield. Left field for the Orioles over the last few years has been a mess.
Changed the dimensions every year.
That's true. Cedric Mullins, when he went out for a little while, they moved him over to center field and had him playing center. I thought that he was versatile when it came to fielding. And then the bat, granted he batted, 240 overall on the season, 242.
That's honestly more of a like average batting average in today's game. I think 240 now shouldn't really be sneezed at as opposed to like 10 years ago.
I think I just want consistency. And I'm afraid that Luis Gil, who I like as a future starting pitcher, I mean, he strikes guys out. He had almost 200 strikeouts this year. I'm concerned that Luis Gil won the award because he's a Yankee and Paul Skeens won the award because he's Paul Skeens. And I just want consistency. And that's what I think worries me when it comes to these races. I don't want this to be like LeBron is clearly the MVP, but you know what? It's James Harden's turn this year. I don't want that. I don't want that at all.
Listen, I have no problem Luis Gil winning this award, quite honestly.
As an Oriole fan.
Yeah. It would have been nice to have Kowser win it, but while the consistency wasn't there, I think as a starting pitcher goes, like you're not going to get April to September just lights out. And when you do, it's a very special season. That dude's usually winning a Cy Young.
Yeah.
But even then, you're going to have some hiccups along the way. And I think it was more so this guy isn't used to pitching this much and probably the gas ran out at the end of the season. But let's not forget how he started this season.
All right. When we come back, it's time to check in on everybody's favorite check-in. I feel like we'll be doing this for the next 3 months. But the old Juan Soto train is moving along as he's meeting with teams. And we'll keep you updated with what that looks like for everybody. But also, Joe brings up a good point. What does this look like if these teams don't get him, especially one of them? We'll do that next. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris. Schultzy's on the 1 and 2s. 1080 The Fan. Coming up on the second hour, we will dive into Manager of the Year as we await Cy Young MVP. We all know where MVP is going. So it'll be a little blip on next week's show, but I am curious what happens with Cy Young. But we'll get into manager, and I've got a hot take, and that includes exposing my own team in the second hour. Plus, what the hell is this garbage team doing right now? Is this a good move or a not good move? So there's a lot to get to in the second hour, plus fair or foul. But we're going to have probably this segment, maybe every week at 7:45, we give you an update on the Juan Soto sweepstakes. He is meeting with teams. He is talking about it's not just money. It's about facilities and opportunities to win.
Okay.
And all this kind of garbage. Steve Cohen comes out and says, I'll give him $50 million more than anybody else.
Well, after rethinking my priorities, I have decided that...
Cash rules everything around me.
Cream, get the money. Dollar bill, y'all.
Dollar bill,
I'm sure y'all. I wish Juan Soto talked like that.
But as we get into this Juan Soto, Shohei Ohtani, like we did this last year with Shohei, we'll do it this year with Juan Soto, and let's have some fun with it. And Joe, you brought this up to me as we were talking earlier today about how we want to build the show. Let's use this Juan Soto situation this week as a question of what does this look like if Juan Soto is not a Yankee next year?
Bad, as far as Yankees go. Like, Soto and Judge together is what made this team go.
And it was
offensive,
sexy.
Yeah.
All the way through the World Series, the regular season, all the way through the World Series, Soto, Judge, Gleyber Torres had a fantastic postseason.
He played well.
And if you can think about it, if he can stick with that as a one, and then Soto two and Judge three, that's sexy baseball.
But if you do not have Soto, the outlook of this team changes dramatically. And I don't know, again, a lot of offseason, a lot of things left to happen. But again, you don't replace a Juan Soto with someone in free agency. Like, if they go and get an Anthony Santander.
That's what I saw. I saw things like Anthony Santander could be the backup in case Soto doesn't re-sign. And it's like, nothing against Santander. Listen, I love
some Tony Taters, too.
I know, you do. And I love him, too, just as a baseball fan. But it's like,
but he ain't Juan Soto.
He ain't Juan Soto.
All right, like, that
say, like, if I don't get Juan Soto, Bryce Harper's in the mix, and you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, but you're
that
also,
doesn't exist.
You're also banking on Anthony Santander to do exactly what he just did this year, and again, love the guy.
Weird that guys play really well when they're about to be a free agent.
But, oh my God, like, if that's what you're depending on, and listen, like the Yankees, they need a lot more than just a bat to replace Juan Soto. They need a bona fide superstar that is able to get on base all the time. And that's what Juan Soto does.
If the Yankees have Juan Soto, they have massive issues they need to fill.
Yeah.
Juan Soto is the least of their problems. Well, like, not really, because it'll torpedo that entire team.
Let's also listen, they had a great season, regular season. They did enough in the first 4 months of the year to be able to put them in a spot to win the AL East.
But I'll also argue it helped that Baltimore
fell off. Yeah, the Red Sox.
Was not the normal Tampa team.
The Red Sox started well.
Who knows what the hell is going on in Toronto?
Red Sox started well, but they had one of the worst second half seasons of
anybody in MLB. And they got a bunch of old dudes that were throwing really well and then stopped throwing really well.
So with that being said, is that
paging Tanner Houck,
the Yankees, they need much more. And then it's like, are they going to be able to replicate the pitching that they just had from last year?
And that's the other thing. I mean, we've talked about this. I think the Yankees, their biggest issue is outside of Gerrit Cole. Cool, Luis Gil won Rookie of the Year. But outside of Gerrit Cole, what is your starter? Okay.
Carlos Rodon.
This
Luke, did have an okay year.
This Luke Weaver thing was really awesome this year, but you saw it fall apart. It fell apart against Cleveland. It fell apart against the Dodgers. Like, you don't have a great bullpen. You might have names that had success this year, but you need starters. You need bullpen. And if you lose, and if you, even if you have Soto, you need a left fielder. How much does Stanton have for you? You need a third baseman. You need a second baseman. You need a first baseman.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question. Would the Yankees be smarter to punt on Soto? And I know they would never agree to this. They would never say, yeah, let's give up on Soto and use this money elsewhere. But from a smart building area, would it be smart to punt on Soto and use that money somewhere else?
I hear what you're saying.
But it's Juan Soto.
And also, this is the New York Yankees. Like, since when can they not spend money? And that's been kind of, and obviously I should be like, oh yeah, I love the Yankees not spending
money. But what
I'll
tell you is the Mets will spend money, the Dodgers will spend money.
Why can't the Yankees?
Maybe it's not that exciting of a place to be anymore.
Well, like, and that's the vibes that have come out of the front office, like, well, we have to be careful, but we're, and it's like, no, you don't. Like, I do not want to hear this from Cashman and Steinbrenner like that.
The Yankees and the Cowboys spend.
Like, what are we talking about?
You're so worth, like, more than anybody else.
To them, it should be like, yeah, we're going to go get Soto, and then we're going to go get player A, player B.
Then we're
going to
go get
player
Blake Snell.
Yeah.
We're trade for Nolan Arenado.
What are we talking about?
Is Logan Gilbert available? We'll go get that guy.
Hey,
here's
Mariners
Jason Dominguez.
Breaking news. Was it Logan Gilbert? No, but they did just make a trade.
Really?
Yeah, they did.
What is it?
Nothing.
The Mets got Jose Siri. Did you see that?
It was a Tampa Bay Rays Mariners trade.
Sounds like a Mariners trade to me.
Well, for a reliever, it just shows you how easy I think the market's going to be for trades. No, they reacquired infielder Austin Shenton for cash considerations.
Glad we brought a halt to the segment nothing. For Austin Shenton.
Well, he mentioned Logan Gilbert, so I wanted to maybe tease fans with the possibility of that actually happening when, in all reality, it's probably not going.
Like, okay, Corbin Burns.
So, Joe, I can sit here and tell you that
I think
there's a chance that the Yankees would be better off not signing Soto and using that money for Blake Snell, Corbin Burns, and a bunch of other guys. But I think you're right. If they lose on Soto, we're just going to destroy him for it, huh?
Yeah.
That the Yankees, the Yankee mystique is dead.
If they don't bring him back, and it's probably not likely, because, yeah, I, if I'm putting anybody a favor in the clubhouse, I'm giving it to the Mets right now.
Me too.
But if...
Just don't be the Dodgers, please.
If you're the Yankees and you're just like, well, all right, we got Soto, we're good. It's like, no.
We went to the World Series with Soto.
No.
Cole will be healthy for the full season.
You're lucky that the bracket shook out in the playoffs, that you got to play the winner of the Orioles or the Royals, two of the worst hitting teams to end the season.
Especially down the stretch. And your reward was a Cleveland-Detroit team that gutted it out for five games.
So I just think that the whole like you said, Yankees mystique of like, well, we're going to be careful here. We got to see where the dollars fall. It's like, what are we talking about, dude? Like, hey, if that's what you want to do, by all means, this Orioles fan does not want you to spend money.
Sure, sure.
That's fine.
Toronto is raging that you don't get Soto.
But in a sense where it's just like the Dodgers don't give an F. They're throwing at, like, defer some money. Figure it out.
Right.
Like, I mean, you are the,
Dodgers are looking at Roki and Soto and...
Yeah, exactly.
And Blake Snell and Corbin Burns.
Listen, and I don't think he's going to go to the Dodgers, and there was something about how his meeting with the Dodgers, oh, it was ecstatic or whatever. Cool. Like,
well, I would be ecstatic, too.
Yeah, but also, they're talking to him. Like, the Dodgers are like, we don't effing care. Like,
why are the Yankees just look desperate? And that, do you want to go to the girl that's desperate to have you? Or do you want to go to the girl that's like, what's up, baby?
Well, who makes you more hang money? Out? Who makes more money? Who's the better cook?
Yeah, you want to hang out? Like, we can do whatever you
Who's
want.
Hotter?
And the Yankees are like, please come to the Bronx every 5 days. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I just find it baffling that the Yankees are in this position to begin with. And it's like, but granted, you might be right where it's like, if they don't get Soto, it's like, cool. All right. Now we have $500 million to maybe add some other players that can fill out the entire roster versus just this one position. I mean, there's a lot of holes on this team that need to be patched up. And I don't think that running it back with just Judge and crossing your fingers that Giancarlo Stanton is able to do what he did over the postseason over 162, well, maybe just 110 games because he can't ever play a whole season. Jazz Chisholm to be able to,
right,
you know, be what he was when he was on the cover of MLB The Show, to have Alex Verdugo increase his output. I mean, he's great. He's a great left fielder for them, but got to be better at the dish. For Volpe to give you a full season of being able to hit well.
Team is so bad.
Great shortstop, great in the field.
Cool.
But he fell off a planet from when he started the season.
If you're the Yankees, say the Mariners offered you Luis Castillo, would you take that, like offering up Anthony Volpe in return?
Yeah, because of contract.
Yeah, exactly.
Like only because of contract.
There's deals that can fit for the Yankees as well.
Yeah, only because of contract. And I think Castillo would be pretty good in the Bronx. I think he'd be pretty good there. He's got stuff in the tank still. All right, we come back. Loaded second hour. Let's get into Manager of the Year. And I'll tell you what, I might surprise you. Plus, why this crappy team is doing well. We'll do that next. Loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. Hot Corner, Today the Fan.